This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
The views expressed by guests on this program do not necessarily represent the views of the host or owners of the Doggy Diva Show and do not necessarily constitute endorsement of products. Medical information discussed by guests on this program are those of the guests and is only for informational purposes and should not replace medical advice by your local veterinarian professional.
Hi, this is Susan Marie from the Doggy Diva Show. This week, does your dog do zoomies? What to look for in a healthy dog, and author Kate Conte's latest release in the Cat Cafe mystery series. That's what's on our show this week. Let's get started.
Hey, did you hear that? What is that?
It's the bark heard round the world. The Doggy Diva Show. Here's national award-winning author and animal advocate, Susan Marie.
Hi, welcome to the Doggy Diva Show, the show for animal lovers. I'm your host, Susan Marie, and as always, I'm joined by my canine co-hosts, the Doggy Divas themselves. Thank you for joining us today as we bring the experts in the pet and animal world right to you. Contact us at thedoggydiva.com. That's the thedoggydiva.com. We love hearing from you. So go grab a cup of coffee and your pet's favorite treat, and we'll be back in just a moment.
Take a bite out of your competition. Advertise your business with an ad in Pet Life Radio podcasts and radio shows. There is no other pet-related media that is as large and reaches more pet parents and pet lovers than Pet Life Radio. With over 7 million monthly listeners, Pet Life Radio podcasts are available on all major podcast platforms. And our live radio stream goes out to over 250 million subscribers on iHeartRadio, Odyssey, TuneIn, Stitcher, and other streaming apps. For more information on how you can advertise on the number one pet podcast and radio network, visit PetLifeRadio.com/advertise today.
Let's Talk Pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Doggy Diva Show. I'm here with Monica Layton, president of Professional Pet Sitting, with our pet tip of the week. And hey, Monica, we adopted a new dog. She's not a young dog. She's 11, but she does massive zoomies all over our yard. And my other two kind of look at her like, what? Can you tell us why do dogs do zoomies? And tell everyone who doesn't know what a zoomie is, what it is.
Absolutely. Those zoomies are those big bursts of activity where your dog will just all of a sudden start running back and forth, getting all excited, and that's affectionately known as the zoomies. So it's just short, sudden bursts of energy. And for a long time, people always thought zoomies were just related to them being happy or excited. But they actually have different types of zoomies, and they're caused by different things. So, for example, of course, you will have your basic really excited, happy to see you kind of playtime zoomies. But you can also get zoomies, for example, when a dog is trying to warm themselves up. So if you live in an environment where it's cold or they are feeling cold, dogs will kick in and start doing zoomies as a way to warm up their body temperature. So if you're in a cold environment and you see your dog is doing a lot of zoomies, that may be a sign that your dog is needing to be warmed up a little bit. Another reason that they do zoomies often can be a pain or anxiety reflex or relief. So for example, if your dog is doing a lot of zoomies after it is exercising, just normal routine exercising, that can sometimes be a sign of early arthritic issues. That can be, you know, any kind of pain, anything like that. They get anxious because of that, and that some kind of kick in and do zoomies after that activity. Another thing is a lot of dogs will do zoomies after they pass stool. So that can be a potential sign of relief for passing that stool, but it can also be a sign to watch and make sure your dog's not getting constipation issues or that the anal glands may be full and be needing to be expressed. There's kind of multiple things out there that can relate back to these zoomies. So it's not always just being excited and wanting to play. It can be a little bit more. So what they say is if you kind of watch when they do these zoomies, if they have something in particular that they're doing it after and it's not just fun and play time, it could be an actual sign that your pet may need some kind of adjustment in lifestyle or temperature, or if it's after stool releases, it could be a sign that maybe they need a different type of food, something that is easier for them to pass digestively. Another reason that they can do zoomies is a lack of exercise. So if you have a dog that is crated while you're gone and they're not getting enough physical activity, dogs will actually do zoomies to get rid of a huge influx of activity. So if you definitely check over, watch your pet, make sure that those zoomies are really just playful zoomies by kind of keeping an eye on what you are actually seeing prior to when those zoomies start.
Well, that's pretty interesting. And I think that with Fawn, it's like playtime because she has the yard and she's running around, but like Coco and Franny are like looking at her like, relax. You can stay out as long as you want. It's interesting because you brought up one about once they pass a stool. We did have that with Coco once. She was like, she'd pass a stool and then she'd run around and we were kind of like, oh no, she's so happy. Well, we took her to the vet for her exam and it turned out it was her anal glands. So that's, I guess if you're looking at this, you could looking, like you said, Monica, it's, maybe it could be just like a fun time thing, a burst of energy, or it could be for like some underlying medical or just like a little bit of a concern that people, I don't think that we realize. So I think that all of these are giving us hints at what to look for.
Absolutely. So really, I mean, it's just having the education to see when it's occurring, if it's occurring right after something all the time, that it's definitely could be a sign to something more going on. And we talked about like cats in the past, how they can hide disease and be chameleons and things like that. But cats, the signs and the things they do to alert us to illness are sometimes very subtle. So things that may not be huge, huge medical issues, but could cause medical issues down the line if untreated, can be seen in smaller things, with this being an example of that. They're having a digestive issue, whether it be anal glands or constipation from the diet they're on or something else, that could all go back to having zoomies after the pet passes stool. A lot of little things can be picked up by the pet's activity. So it's just kind of knowing to keep an eye out for those signs.
This is really great information. So those of us that's dogs, do zoomies, do a little research, figure out when they're doing it, when it's after or before whatever it is they're doing. So zoomies are more than a fun time. Sometimes zoomies are for a reason. So Monica, you very aptly explained why do dogs do zoomies. So I thank you very much for this information.
Thank you. Have a great week.
You too. We'll be back in just a moment. Hello, everyone. Susan Marie here to tell you about the award-winning three-book series, The Doggy Diva Diaries. It is a trilogy of heartwarming and inspirational stories about Miss Olive, a lonely little rescue pup, hoping to find her forever family and friends and a life filled with love. In this series, Miss Olive learns that it doesn't matter what you look like on the outside, it's the kindness and love you have on the inside that counts. Available at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and other online booksellers. And please visit us at thedoggydiva.com for more information. Thank you, everyone. Coming up, you know how important exercise is for you. How about your pet? That's next.
For those fortunate to have experienced the deep bond and unconditional love of a companion animal, The death that follows can be one of the most difficult and misunderstood losses to go through. Many times, this devastating loss goes unrecognized and trivialized by family and friends, leaving grieving pet parents struggling to find healthy ways to cope with the loss. In And I Love You Still, a thoughtful guide and remembrance journal for healing the loss of a pet, Dr. Julianne Corbin calls attention to the difficulties unique to the loss of a beloved pet and provides an interactive and compassionate guide to help you process your loss and work towards coming to a place of peace and healing. For those interested in journal therapy and looking for a professionally written and compassionate resource to help understand and reconcile the grief associated with the loss of your pet, this book is for you. And I Love You Still, a thoughtful guide and remembrance journal by Julianne Corbin, is now available for purchase on Amazon and other major book retailers.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Doggy Diva Show. As a pet parent, I understand the importance of exercising my pups. Not only does it help keep our pups healthy, it is a truly fun bonding experience, and we kind of benefit from it too. And with us today to share some helpful advice on the benefits of exercising your pups is Kim Gablin, Chief Marketing Officer at Bill Jack Foods. Hey, Kim, welcome.
Hi, Sue. Thanks for having me on to talk about getting active with your dog.
I know. We talked about, the last time you were on, we talked about the fact that we had adopted a new pup into our home, and my dogs, we'd take on little walks, and they were very happy. Fawn likes real walks, like walk, 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 walks. So my husband and I are like, we're totally into this exercise thing now with exercising with our dogs. So this is such a great topic that we're going to be talking about because it not only is it a bonding experience, I kind of think everyone benefits from it.
Oh, yeah, it's definitely a win-win. You know, win-win for the dog and then win-win for you. And you know, we always talk about how walking your dog is not just about the physical activity. It gives them also some mental stimulation.
Yes.
They're smelling what else is going on in the neighborhood, who else has been there, what else is happening. So it really is a win-win. It's actually a win-win-win across the board for both you getting healthy and being active and your dog being healthy and active.
So what are a few guidelines that pet parents can follow to know if the dogs are in a healthy and fit state?
So, you know, this is really important because, you know, a lot of people don't always recognize that maybe their dog is overweight. And I know that, you know, before the pandemic, the Association for Pet Obesity Prevention did kind of like a yearly survey with veterinarians and pet parents, and they found that about 53% of dogs in the U.S. were overweight or obese. And so I know during the pandemic, I've been doing nothing but reading about how dogs are getting heavier, but I've not seen a new number yet. So I know that there's dogs out there that need to be out there exercising. So my rule is, you know, get your dog to stand up. It's really easy to do. Have your dog stand. And then can you easily feel their ribs?
Mm-hmm.
You know, a couple of extra pounds may not sound like much, but on a 10-pound dog or a 12-pound dog, 2 pounds adds, you know, a lot of weight. Like on a 10-pound dog, that's 20% more weight.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so that's really not a good thing. So it's really kind of important to kind of have an understanding of kind of where your dog is. And, you know, you can always look up online, you know, if your dog is a mix of a couple dogs, see what you know, about what weight they're supposed to be, because that will really kind of help you understand how to keep them healthy. And so if they're a little overweight, then, you know, walking is a great way, right, to be able to kind of get them some extra energy and get those calories kind of moving and working for them to be able to kind of get them a little bit more energy during the day.
What are some ways that dog parents can get their dogs in shape but maintain them staying in shape, kind of like keeping the good thing going and in a healthy way?
Yeah. Yeah, we know. I think, you know, certainly I always remind everybody, watch the feeding guidelines on your bag. You know, have you been looking at those to start? Do you measure your dog's food every time you feed them? You know, make sure that you're measuring, you know, if you need to, you know, trim back a hair, trim back a hair and kind of see how that goes over time. So that's always a good way to kind of make sure you're feeding them the appropriate amount, limit those number of scraps, and then, you know, certainly start to get them moving is number three, right? Get them out there. So, when you're walking, when your dog's walking, it helps them be agile and limber. It really kind of helps to, I know it sounds funny, but it really does help to oil those joints.
Mm-hmm.
It naturally kind of helps to kind of oil those joints and kind of keep everything moving. And so that's why it's really important to be able to do that. Start out slow. You know, don't go from we haven't walked to let's walk for an hour.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
that's not a really good way to do that, right? You want to be able to start out slow. So, you know, maybe you go for, if you haven't been going for walks, maybe you go for a 5-minute walk, a 10-minute walk, you know, out down the street a little bit and back. And that's all you need to do, right? So, you know, you can kind of see how your dog tolerates that, how they're doing with that. You know, maybe you'll find that they don't like to walk on the sidewalk, but they like to go to the park.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so maybe they prefer to have a softer surface to walk on. You know, maybe they like to even just go to the dog park. You know, it could be, it doesn't have to be like regimented. Well, okay, we're going to go for a mile walk now and then we'll be back. And then, you know, tomorrow we're going to do it again. It doesn't, make it fun. So, you know, it could be tossing the ball in the backyard. If your dog loves to play fetch, it could be, you know, creating like a little agility thing and being able to get them moving. But, you know, if you're walking, I would say, like I said, start slow, do it for a few minutes. You know, the next day, maybe you go a little bit longer. And, you know, then that helps you both kind of get acclimated to doing a little bit more walking. And certainly, you know, watch the time of day, right? If it's warm outside, you know,
yes,
we're kind of going into the fall now. Things are cooling down, so it'll be a little bit easier, right, to get out during the day and easily kind of take that walk. And again, you know, it could be 3 10-minute walks a day, and then look, you've got a half an hour in.
And I always say that the pet parent benefits as much, sometimes if not more, than the pet themselves, because you're right, building it up and having them go out and having them adjust to the walk, and they really enjoy it. And then as you said, some like to walk on cement, some like to walk in the grass, some love dog parks, and there's so many dog parks out there, Kim, or just throwing the ball in the backyard. That's exercise in itself. I mean, there's so many ways that we could do that. And with the weather becoming a little cooler, you can get out more. So you're 100% right on that.
Yeah. And like I said, I think I always feel like, and I think I feel like this for myself too, when I feel like, oh, I really should start exercising. I really need to go for an hour. You know, you don't. So again, start slow, you know, build up, and then, you know, find out what your dog enjoys and what you enjoy. You know, mm-hmm. maybe you love, you know, I know we have a national park near where we live. And so I can just go out and in 5 minutes be in the park and, you know, drive over and 5 minutes we're there. And so, you know, it's nice to walk in the park. It's just so pretty.
Yeah.
And so I would really like to do that because we don't have sidewalks in our little area. So where our house is. So it's really nice to be able to kind of get away and then be in a pretty scene. And sometimes that just makes it all that much more, you know, worthwhile. You know, then you're like looking for other things and other wildlife. So again, take it easy, have a plan, and then, you know, just build it up a little bit. And then, like I said, you could break it up and do it a few times a day, and you don't have to do it for an hour at a time. You could just do it at 10, 15 minutes at a time, and that's all you really need.
What are some of the key nutrition attributes of dog food, such as Bill Jack's, that can help a dog maintain a healthy and fit lifestyle?
Yeah, you know, it's really important to get them protein. And protein is really the basis of your dog's diet. That really provides a lot of the essential amino acids. And essential amino acids are the parts of protein that your dog can only get from food, right? So even if they eat food, their body can't make the other kinds of protein or the other kinds of essential amino acids they need to get that from their food. So having a food, that's what we always talk about as the dog food amino maker. That's why we're always talking about protein, very important, because that's where a lot of those nutrients come from. And so we use 25 pounds of fresh chicken to make a 30-pound bag of our dog food, our puppy foods and our adult foods, for example. And, you know, we do that because it's really important to get that protein in there. And we use fresh protein because so that means it hasn't been cooked already or it's not made into a meal. So that first ingredient is our fresh protein. And we cook it very gently and slowly to help protect those sensitive, heat-sensitive nutrients and make sure that they're all the way through there so that your dog gets the benefit of eating them. You know, they're available for your dog. So that's really important. And also, I know we talk a lot about carbohydrates, and everybody, you know, sometimes people are like, oh, carbohydrates are bad. You know, protein takes a little longer to digest. And so the carbohydrates are kind of there to be able to help with some of the, I call it the quicker energy. So they're there like for a more immediate energy, while those proteins going to last and take a little bit longer to digest. And so it kind of helps to even out that kind of that energy across. They're not, you know, they're not fillers. They're oftentimes helping to be able to balance that energy for your dog. And then, of course, there's all the vitamins and minerals, right, that come from food that are really important. Mm-hmm. So it's, you know, it's really important to take a look at the food that you're feeding and make sure that you're giving your dog that healthy food, that healthy nutrition, because it's just really the basis of their overall health. It's really the foundation of kind of how healthy your dog can be by being able to feed them a very healthy food.
Now, where can the listeners go to learn more about Bill Jack and all the things you're out there on social media? Of course, you have my great newsletter I love to receive every month. Where can the listeners go to learn more about it and your awesome website?
Yeah, you know, visit us at our website. It's BillJack.com. It's BILJAC.com. And we have a ton of information out there. So, of course, we have information about our food and our nutrition, but we also have a pet parent section where you can join our Best Friends Club. That's our monthly e-newsletter. And so we'll email that to you automatically every month. And, you know, if you can open it, there's like three or four articles about your dog, just about, it could be about nutrition, it could be about health, it could be about just, you know, interesting facts about dogs. So we try to have some fun with the newsletter. And then we also usually have an offer, a coupon offer in there that you can just, you just sign up and we'll mail that out to you the next month. So it's real easy to be able to kind of get a monthly coupon if you're keeping up with the newsletters. And so there's a place to join out there. And we also have a great place to find a store near you. So maybe you're looking for our treats. You can put in your zip code and actually check treats, and it'll tell you what stores have it near you. Or maybe you're looking online to buy it. So we make that, try to make that as easy as possible for you to be able to find that information as well.
Not only are you very pup friendly, but you're pet parent friendly. So that makes it easy for people like me if I want to just learn something really quick or if I want to just check on something. That's a great go-to place. So that's BillJack.com. So, Kim, I want to thank you for being our guest today and for sharing really helpful advice on the benefits of exercise and good nutrition to get our pups healthy and to keep our pups healthy. So I thank you so very much.
Thank you. And you know, have fun this fall getting out there and getting active.
Absolutely. Thank you. We'll be back in just a moment. Coming up, a whodunit for cat lovers. That's next. Stay with us.
Molly, here's your dinner. Zeus, that's not your food.
Don't let that happen to your precious cat. Elevate your cat's eating experience with the Cat Tree Tray. The Cat Tree Tray keeps your cat's food off the floor and conveniently located on the cat tree. It's the perfect way to eat. It's a beautiful wrought iron tray that easily attaches to your cat tree and keeps dogs and other critters out of your cat's dish. A must for multi-pet households. There's a 6-inch tray for large bowls and a 4-inch tray for smaller bowls. Purchase your cat tree tray today. Go right now to cattreetray.com. That's cattreetray.com. CATTREETRAY.com.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Doggy Diva Show. Author and animal lover Kate Conte writes the Cat Cafe Mysteries and the new series, The Full Moon Mysteries. And as Liz Mugavero, she also writes the Positively Organic Mysteries, the first of which was an Agatha nominee for Best First Novel. And Kate is also the founder of the Creativity Lab. The latest release in the Cat Cafe Mysteries, Gone But Not Forgotten, is a cozy mystery about a quaint island town, a cat cafe, animal rescue, some mystery, a bit of zen, and a killer who is on the loose. And with us today to tell us all about Gone But Not Forgotten and the Cat Cafe Mysteries is author Kate Conte. Welcome, Kate, to the Doggy Diva Show.
Hi, thank you so much for having me.
Oh, no. And I have been following you for quite a while. I've read your books. I truly enjoy them. But for the listeners who may not be aware of you yet, could you please tell us a little bit about yourself?
Absolutely. So I started out my publishing career with under my real name, Liz McGavro, with the Positively Organic Mysteries. There are 7 books in that series, and it follows Stan Connor, who left her corporate job a bit unceremoniously, and she somehow found herself as a gourmet pet chef in a small town. And the small town also happened to have a lot of murders. So she got a second career as a sleuth. And then from there, I became Kate Conti, and I started writing the Cat Cafe Mysteries. And you just read the 6th book in the series. I'm working on the 7th at the moment. And I also, last year or the year before, I'm losing track, the Full Moon Mysteries came out. So that series follows Violet Mooney, who at age 32 finds out that she's a witch.
We love those kind of characters. I love those little woo-woo characters.
Yeah, it really is a fun one. She owns a crystal shop. And I'm obsessed with crystals. I mean, I have them everywhere. And now the best part is I can, you know, every time I buy them, I can say I'm writing them off as research. So,
which makes you love them more. So, but I have to be honest with you. I was just on a recent trip. And for all of you out there who have been traveling, I was traveling on one of the weekends that probably was the least desirous to travel on. But I had gotten Gone But Not Forgotten, and I started to read it. And I have to tell you, you helped make a very potentially stressful situation. Your little characters there, I got drawn in, and everything went smoothly. Everything flew by quick. I didn't even know, nothing affected me. Everyone else around me was kind of freaking out, and I'm like, oh, wait a minute, I got to turn the page here. Could you please keep it down over there? So I want to tell you that it made kind of like traveling painless for me. And in the book, there's Maddie, there's JJ, there's all kinds of stuff, and there's rescue animals and a hoarding situation. And a lot of people who listen to this show are rescue people. You honored what they did in the book. I mean, there's a lot going on about that. So can you just tell us a little bit about that?
Sure. And first of all, I have to say, I love what you said. Thank you for that. I love any way I can help people. And I know how travel can be such a beast.
Yeah.
So I'm so glad I could be of service. So this book was a fun one to write on some level, right? The hoarding stuff is kind of hard. But, you know, I definitely, one of the reasons I wanted to write about animal or have animals in my books was because I always wanted to have a thread of, you know, doing something, being in service, and animal rescue has been a passion of mine for a really long time. I'm a huge fan of Dennis Lehane, and he always says, you know, make your books about something. And for me, that was a way to weave, you know, a fun story in with something that actually mattered to people. So I always look for ways I can educate people on animal rescue and what rescuers go through and all of that. So I did animal rescue for a really long time. I've sort of backed off a little bit. I have 2 rescue dogs and 1 rescue cat. But I did cat rescue for many, many years. And I had a lot of cats, and I did, you know, TNR, and I, you know, fed feral cats and did the clinics and all of those things. So I came into contact with a lot of different people in different situations. And there was one situation where, so this was sort of the basis for Gone But Not Forgotten, where I had run into a person who was a, you know, respected animal rescuer in a community. And this person really was kind of a hoarder that I found out by mistake. I was not meant to find that out. And the scene always kind of stuck with me. And I felt like I needed to bring that to life to show people that, you know, it doesn't have to look a certain way. It can definitely be, it can be not what you expect. And it also doesn't come from a place of being a bad person. It can really come from a place of, you know, I was really trying to help. I got in over my head. I don't know what to do, but I can't stop. And that's what I was trying to demonstrate with my victim in Gone But Not Forgotten.
Well, I have to tell you, you wrote very authentically, like you have lived through it before. And I, as I said, a lot of my listeners are rescue. I've been in rescue for over 25 years, but it's something that when you see things and you live through them, and also you you did approach it empathetically. So, because some people don't. And I was really impressed, and I kind of identified with a lot of stuff that you had put in the book. It was authentic, not just to write about these things, but you wrote through stuff that the woman, Lauren, there was different things that I picked up on that I'm like going, oh my God, I did that. Oh my. And I'm sure people who are listening, who are in rescue reading this book, will kind of find a little bit of comfort, a little bit of, there's humor, but there's also the reality of what goes on.
Yeah, for sure. I did it for two decades. You know, I'm kind of thinking about dipping my toe back in, but I know myself, right? So I know I get really sucked in, so I'm trying to manage my time. But yeah, you see a lot of things and you learn that, you know, people go into it with all different goals and reasons, and they bring their own stuff to it, right? And just everyone approaches it differently and things happen.
Did you base Maddie? Maddie's the lead character. Did you base her on anyone? Was there any inspiration for any of the characters in there? Or is Maddie you?
No, she's not me. I kind of wish she was me. Maddie's a lot.
She's
more,
very cool. Yeah.
She was a lot more adventurous than I was at her age. But Maddie just came to me as a character who, you know, she hadn't wanted to be confined to her hometown, to a small place. And so she had, you know, she'd gone away to college. She went all the way across the country and started a business and created this whole life. But she ultimately realized that, you know, her family ties, especially her grandfather, were enough to bring her back to a place where she never thought she would end up. And so she decided to make the best of that and turn her work and her entrepreneurial spirit into something that was going to be good for the island. So she created a cat cafe. Honestly, though, when the series first started, the cat cafe was not the basis for the book. It was sort of a circular process that got us there. It had started out, the publisher had wanted something a bit more general about cats, and then it kind of morphed into, let's put a cat cafe on the island. And I was at the time like, how am I going to do that? That's not really the setting for a cat cafe.
But it worked out well.
A little creative.
After I got this book, because I told you it was like nirvana in the airport situation and the plane situation. So I said, I'm going to go back and find out how it started. And it did. It starts out slower, and it's, you get the background as to why she's where she is, what she's doing, an intro to the characters. But it does, you're jumping into it where I jumped into it, because there's other books. What book is this in the series?
That's number six.
Well, I bought actually the first two and learned more about how it began, because I really, really like the characters. And I have to tell you, one of the characters you had in this book and Gone But Not Forgotten was Cass. And he was very zen. And I know someone like him. And it was like, so I was reading it and I'm going, oh my God, I could picture this person in my head. And I could see the movements, the talk and everything. And in reality, Cass was really based on a real person.
He is. Yeah. One of my other passions is alternative medicine and healing and all that woo-woo stuff that we talked about at the beginning with the Full Moon Mysteries. And so probably a decade ago, I met a traditional Chinese medicine doctor and started going to his practice for some of his classes and treatments and all of that. And so I would go. When I started going, there was one class every Monday night that I would go to after work. And before he started the class, there was this gentleman who would come and play sound healing, singing bowls. And it was Cass. His name really is Cass. And I had never really been exposed to sound healing before. And you know, I remember at first it felt kind of, it was almost like disturbing to my ears, but I was like really, really intrigued by it. And so I kept going every week and I just kind of fell in love with it. And I learned that, you know, it really is a healing modality. And as you get more acclimated to it, your whole vibration changes. And I noticed over time that this, you know, the certain sounds that were at first bothering my ears were not doing it anymore. And so it was just really fascinating to me. And Cass was just, he was just this big silent, you know, big, almost like he looked like a big bear. And he was from Haiti. He didn't talk much. He came in with his bowls. He played them. He had giant rings on all his fingers, and he was just cool. And so, yeah, I went to his class for years until he stopped going. And he's still someone I think about often. And you know, he definitely changed my life. So I had to bring him into the book because I felt like the island needed a little bit of diversity and a little bit of a, you know, a different perspective on things. And I thought someone like Cass could bring that to the story.
I really like that. I had been in a really major car accident, and my doctor, and he recommended me to go to someone to do this because I'd been hit by a tractor trailer, and I went for this sound healing. I mean, I'm like, oh, sound healing. And I went, and I have to tell you, and I did lose part of the hearing in one of my ears. I mean, it was really quite serious. And it really helped me. So that's why I, as soon as I read about him and saw what he was doing, I'm like going, oh my God, this takes me back years when I went through this. And I was like, kind of like, oh, what? And it really helped me personally. So I kind of identified with this little cat with, well, he's not little, he's big, but the what you were portraying there. So I really love that too. Now, one of the things I wanted to talk about, you do have a book that's upcoming. Can you tell us what the book, anything about the book in this series that's upcoming?
The next book in the Cat Cafe Mysteries? Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I'm working on it now. I'm actually probably a little behind, so don't have the story all sorted out yet. But basically, it's going to take place around Halloween, which is so fun for me. That's my favorite.
Well, that's my favorite holiday.
Yeah, me too. So I'm having a lot of fun with it. There's going to be a dead psychic. I know that much about it. And there's some ghost stories in there and all kinds of fun things. So I'm looking forward to how that comes together, hopefully soon.
Oh, that's great. Can you tell us about your new series, The Full Moon Mysteries, a little bit about that?
Yeah. So as I mentioned earlier, Violet Mooney is 32. She runs a crystal shop in a small Connecticut town. And one day she has a very public altercation with a local government official, and this woman ends up dead. And, you know, through a series of events, Violet finds herself a suspect. And that same day, when she's brought to the police station for questioning, she gets an unexpected visitor. It's her long lost mother, who disappeared when she was a very small child. There had been a spell that had been put on Violet, so her mother couldn't find her, and the spell had been broken during, you know, all of these events that happened. And so her mother comes back into her life and tells her that she's a witch, and she's next in line to take a seat on the, you know, the witch's magical council, and she really needs to kind of step into this part of her life. And of course Violet is mortified because she's like, what do you mean I'm a witch? I have no idea what you're talking about. But she had a lot of powers that she, you know, was using but didn't realize they were actual powers. Like, she could read auras, and she had, you know, part of her business at the crystal shop was being able to prescribe crystals to people who needed certain things, and she could figure out what those things were and which stones people needed and all of that. So she's, you know, she's got to figure out how to balance the mortal life and the witch life, and figure out how to save the world, because there's some political stuff going on in the witch world too that was actually really fun to write. And it sort of paralleled some of the things that have been going on in our world for the past few years.
Yeah.
So that was interesting to explore. So yeah, the third book in that series is coming out in March.
March. And can you just give us the first two books for the listeners in case they want to delve into this?
Yes. The first book is called Witch Hunt, and the second book is called Witch Trial. And the third one is called Witch Way Out.
Oh, I love that. Speaking of all of your book series, and you've been writing for a number of years, you have something that's going on that you've started called the Creativity Lab. Can you just tell us a little bit about that?
Sure. Yeah. So this is a membership that I just launched over the summer. I did kind of a soft launch. I'm going to be opening it up again in a month or so, once I get things a little bit more sorted out. But, you know, really for me, you know, I've been thinking a lot about my process of how I got to being a multi-published author. And, you know, I always knew as a kid, I was one of those strange kids that knew from really early on what I wanted to do. I loved reading. I loved books. I loved writing. I loved all of that. But as I got older and the world started to, you know, take precedence over everything else, this happens to a lot of people. You get kind of pushed out of that mindset of that creative life being a life that can be something that sustains you. And so I got kind of blocked for a while, and I didn't realize it was a blockage. You know, I was still doing all the things. I even went to graduate school and got a writing degree. So I was still doing all of the things, but I couldn't get out of my own way to figure out what I was doing as an actual writer. And then I found Julia Cameron's
The Artist's Way, and I started really digging into those exercises. And, you know, I had to go through the book a couple of times to really get anywhere. But, you know, that really helped me see that, you know, being able to write is not just about understanding the mechanics of putting a story together. It's really about digging into all of the things that have built up in your life and in your mind over you know, your entire lifetime that's stopping you from actually being able to dig in and put those words on paper and bring those creative things that you want to do, whether it's writing or anything else, to life. So for me, it's all about that spiritual practice to get there versus like, this is how you write a story. This is how you plot a book. Anybody can teach that and learn that, right? But I think getting inside and figuring out all the things that are stopping you is something that is often overlooked. And so that's what this membership is about. It's really for people who either have written before and really want to get back into it, or have always wanted to write and never were able to do it. Just kind of getting to the page, getting that practice in place to be able to come to the page.
Especially, you know, after what we've been through, we were in lockdown. There was a lot of people who went to alternative careers or decided to dip their toe into other careers, or maybe their creativity side that's kind of been sleeping for a while kind of woke up. And I think that what you're doing is really great. It helps to bring us out, and it also gives us a place to go, like a sense of community. And I think that's part of what you've created with the Community Lab. It's like do you have a Facebook page specific to that?
So I have a free writing community on Facebook so people in the Creativity Lab membership will have access to a community. It will be a specific community. I do have a free writing space that, you know, is intended to bring some of that community. But yeah, for me, that's always been a thing, right? Too. So before I knew I was going to write mysteries, before I found my people in the mystery world, like, I felt very lonely. You know, I mean, I knew a lot of writers, but they were maybe different kinds of writers, and maybe you didn't think the same way or, you know, have the same experiences. But once I found my community of mystery writers who, you know, we could go out to dinner and talk about the best way to, you know, the best shovel to use to dig a grave, or, you know, all those crazy things that made the waitresses really back away from us. It wasn't until then that I felt like, oh, okay, I found my place. And so, you know, whether people write mysteries or not, you know, I want to give people a place where they can find their people.
Yes, find the tribe. I always say that. Where can the listeners go, like, to learn more about you, to learn more about your books, to learn about the Creativity Lab? Where can people go to find more about all that?
Yeah, so I'm at kateconti.com. There's, you know, there's a contact page on there if you want information about the Creativity Lab. I haven't, like I said, done a full-on launch yet, so there's not a lot about it out on social yet. But if anyone's interested, they can send me a message through my website. I'm also on all of the channels as both Kate Conti and Liz McGavro. So there's lots of stuff, especially on my Liz McGavro Instagram page. There's a lot of stuff about writing and creativity and things like that. So that's a good place to go.
That's great. And before we go, is there anything that you'd like to share with our listeners?
I mean, thank you for reading. I'm so grateful to everyone who's picked up my books and read them and, you know, have had a good experience with them. And thank you for rescuing animals. If you're interested in that, it's such a worthy cause. I wouldn't know what to do without my rescue babies. So thank you for supporting all of that.
Well, and I want to thank you for being our guest today and for sharing your amazing stories with us. And you've got so many books. And as I said before we went on the air, I had finished the Positively Organic Mystery, and I was like going, oh my gosh. And I picked up this book, Gone But Not Forgotten, and I recognized the same type, the writing. I totally enjoy the way you write because it's very authentic. And again, it resonates with the rescue, but it's not all about rescue. There's mystery. So you do a lot. And I was really happy to find you in the Cat Cafe Mysteries. And I am going to be looking at the Full Moon Mysteries next. So I'm heading up the line there. And I think our listeners will want it too, because you feel like you're part of a community.
Thank you so much. That means a lot.
Oh, that's great. And also I want to thank you for having rescue animals and rescuers in your book as characters in the books, because again, it was very real. And I, as a rescuer who has a house full of rescue animals, I totally resonated with that. So I thank you very much for that. And because I enjoyed the book and felt it was so enjoyable to read, plus it got me through a horrible travel time. I mean, it was like, so anyone who wants to be, who's going to be traveling, I'm telling you, get Kate Conte. I was reading Gone But Not Forgotten, but I'm on my way through the whole series. So, and they're really, really great. And I was like oblivious to everything that was going on around me. And there was a lot. So what we did.
You're making me want to go back and read it.
I'm telling you, I blew through it. It was great. I had problems at the hotel. I said, I'm just going to sit and read my book. I don't even care. And I didn't. And my sister flew in and she's like, and I'm going, no, you need to be reading this book. So I picked it. We chose it as one of Miss All's favorite things for the October issue, little Halloween issue of Suncoast Pet Magazine. So Gone Burnt Not Forgotten is also in there, and the magazine's available online at suncoastpet.com. So I just have to thank you, and thank you for being our guest. And I'd love to have you back on with the next book that's coming out, whether it's the Cat Cafe Mysteries or one of your other ones. So please keep in touch, because we'd love to have you back on.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me. I would love to come back.
Thank you. And we will be back in just a moment.
Pet Life Radio, the number one pet radio network on the planet, joins forces with iHeartRadio to put the power of your pets in your pocket.
Awesome.
Download the iHeartRadio app and rock Pet Life Radio on your phone, on your tablet, on your Xbox, in your car. Pet talk, pet tunes, and fun pet times. Pet Life Radio and iHeartRadio. Positively possum.
We would like to thank our guests this week. And also, as our doggy divas always say, please love your pets because they love you unconditionally. And please remember to adopt, foster, spay, neuter, and microchip. And as always, please have a great Diva Week, everyone.
That's all for this episode of The Doggy Diva Show. To find out more, go to our website, thedoggydiva.com. Also, find us on our Facebook page, The Doggy Diva Show, and tell your fellow dog lovers about it. Don't miss Susan Marie, Miss Olive, and The Doggy Divas right here for the next episode. See you again soon.
Let's Talk Pets, every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.